it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Don't know if you caught the Dan Patrick show this morning, but if you did, if you're listening in a market that gets the Dan Patrick show, like Fox Sports Eugene, like 750 The Game, Urban Meyer made some comments about the Pac-12 that I thought were interesting. Among them, he thought that if the Pac-12 didn't get going soon, that the recruiting setback would be catastrophic for years. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, Oregon Live, covers Oregon State. You agree with Urban Meyer, or is he blowing smoke there?
No, I don't agree with him on that. I think a lot of people are going to look at 2020 as something off the beaten path. And I think any of these coaches that are skilled enough to recruit players are going to be able to talk their way through this. I mean, the Pac-12's recruiting issues go way deeper than, you know, the pandemic. I'm not saying they're not going to have problems, but it's not, I don't think it's going to do with the pandemic. It's just because of all the other issues that involve Pac-12 football.
The if you're a Pac-12 coach, how do you spin the idea that they looked more cautious? I mean, turn that into a positive.
Well, I mean, the safety aspect is, you know, I don't know that's gonna resonate with every recruit, but I definitely think it's gonna resonate with moms. I mean, that's like number one or two requirement for most moms. You know, is my son gonna be safe on campus? And I'm pretty sure the Pac-12 schools can at least spin that. You know, they're gonna have some issues with the fact that they didn't seem organized on this whole deal, but at least they've looked like they have the players' interest, you know, near the top of the priority list.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian with us. Is Oregon State ready? Do you think they're ready to go? What is are they one of the schools that would be ready to play on October 31st?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't say for 100% sure. Getting information out of Oregon State right now is like pulling teeth. It's pretty frustrating. But from everything I can gather, they took 3 weeks off after the Pac-12 announced that they weren't going to play football right away, and then they decided that after the testing piece came through, or shortly before then, they decided they were going to have all their players come back the day after Labor Day, which was what, September 8th. So they've been on campus since September 8th, working out, doing, you know, individual type drills and working in the weight room. They can work 12 hours a week. So they've been doing that. So I think they're. You know, going to be, are they farther along than some of these schools at UCLA and schools that'll be able to do a lot of lifting? Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I'd need to ask Jonathan for sure whether October 31st would work. But I think there's a possibility. I think they're definitely farther ahead than some Pac-12 schools, but further behind than you know, schools have been able to really go, like Utah and Colorado and Washington schools.
I know Hamika Rashid has not publicly said that he will declare or come back. He's, you know, I follow him on social media and waiting to kind of find out what happened, and I don't blame him for that. But let's just kick around the idea. Should he play if there is a season?
Well, I did talk to Jonathan about that about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Asked him, you know, what his conversations have been with Hamika, and And he said that you know, he doesn't expect Rashid to make a decision until all the information is there. And he thinks it would be a good idea for him to come back because he said there's some things he can show, you know, with the end of the way the end of the season happened with his hand. That's fully healed. He's really cut. I mean, he's really cut. He's put on weight, and I don't know for sure that he's faster, but I think he is. Jonathan thinks that if he's able to play, you know, even 5, 6, 7 games, he's going to be able to show the NFL that, you know, I'm that much better. Because there's obviously questions about him in terms of his size at the next level. So I think, you know, that would be the selling point to him. Now whether that means anything, you know, maybe he just decides, okay, I don't know that this is going to be worth my time, but maybe I can show off what I can do in one of the All-Star games or something like that. You know, that's definitely an option, and he can show off a lot of the stuff he needs to show off to the NFL people there. So I would think those are the two things he's looking at, but as to where he stands at this point, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I've been trying, but I don't know.
The quarterback position, Jake Luton gone to the NFL, Tristan Jebbia there now. He at least got the Civil War start, so you have to like that versus some quarterbacks that might be playing their first game live action in the Pac-12 this season. Is Jebbia ready? Do you feel like he's a guy that you trust? Let's just start with that. Do you trust him to run this offense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, anytime you put a guy in for the first or second time, you're going to have a lot of questions. But I mean, he sold me to some degree playing at Oregon. I mean, there's not many tougher places that he could have made his first start than Austin Stadium in a game that Oregon had to win. I mean, he showed some poise in that game. I mean, he had some nervous moments too, but I think he's got enough skill, and he definitely knows the offense. He's been there 2 years. He's been going through practices, and I'll be really surprised if he's not the guy whenever they start the season, that is their starting quarterback. I mean, I know they like the other two guys as well, but I think Jebbia has such an enormous advantage in terms of experience with their offense that it's going to be hard to overlook him whenever an opener comes to pass.
The guys that he'll be throwing to, you know, there are some new faces. Obviously, Isaiah Hodgins gone. You know, the tight end situation has changed. How are the players around Jebbia in that offense outside of the running backs, which I like the running backs, but how do you like the receivers and Jebbia's weapons?
Well, they're shorter as a whole. They don't have the size that maybe they'd had in the past. And there's another one I'm going to need to check on now, that Treshawn Harrison would have been eligible to play had they, started playing in January. But now if they're going to play this fall, I don't know that he's going to be eligible. So, he would have added some, you know, physicality at that position, But Trayvon Bradford is very reliable. I mean, he's been in this system for, you know, since Jonathan's got there, and he was there before, and he proved the year he was healthy he could play. He's going to be a leader at that position, and you know, then Tyjon Lindsey, he'll need to take a step up, and I really like their tight ends, you know, Luke Musgrave and Tegan Quatariano. I think they're going to add something to the passing game. And Do I think that they're going to take a step back? Maybe a half. Just Hodgins is so reliable. I mean, anytime you needed a big play, you could count on him 80 to 90% of the time. So, I mean, that's a guy they're going to have to find. But I think as a whole, you know, maybe it's just a slight step back. But, you know, I wouldn't put any money on that. I need to see it, but I just think on paper, you know, they look good. They look pretty decent.
The mentality, I know Jonathan Smith finished last year by talking about retaining his assistant coaches. The mentality inside the program, the fact that they now have had more continuity right now to this point, despite the pandemic, which is ironic, but they've had more continuity than maybe they've had since, what, Gary Anderson coming off the Civil War win? Like, they don't have quite that success yet, but they've got some continuity. How much of an advantage is that?
Oh, it's enormous, because you don't have to reteach everything all over again. And I mean, it's been a while. I mean, I'd have to go back and look. But I think even in the Gary Anderson era, I mean, you still replaced a few coaches. And Mike Riley was, you know, he generally had to replace a coach or two. I mean, they've had very little turnover. They really have only had Blue Adams as the second-year guy in the secondary. But everybody else has been there pretty much since Jonathan got on campus. So just the fact that everybody knows what the coaches expect of them and what the terminology is and all that's huge, I think. And I mean, I think it's going to pay some dividends, even in a year where they've got some inexperience. The guys that you would quote unquote call inexperience have still been in there. That they're going to count on has still been in their system for a year or two, and they're going to know what the coaches expect of them.
Nick Daschle covers Oregon State football for the Oregonian, OregonLive.com. Daschle, if they play seven games head to head, and then the eighth week of the season is a seeded eighth game, all right, you got to play seven. Who are the teams everybody's going to want to avoid in the Pac-12 conference?
Everybody's going to want to avoid. Well, I mean, you think it's going to be seven plus one?
Seven plus one.
I don't. So that would get them to. They're going to have. They would have to move the playoff then, wouldn't they?
No, the eighth game. If they start on October 31st, 7 weeks.
You still think they're going to start on October 31st? Yeah, I don't know that's going to happen. But okay. Well, I mean, you have to say that. I mean, I think the way they're going to do it is everybody's going to play their own division, everybody in their own division. So that means you're asking who Oregon State wouldn't want to play in the other.
Right.
I wouldn't want to play USC and probably Utah. Those, you know, just the Utah will beat you up, and USC's got the most talent. If they're going to play seven games, I mean, the way I would do it is I would play everybody in your division and then take last year's standings, take the top three teams, take the bottom three teams, and you get to play one of the top three and one of the bottom three. That's kind of how I would. That's just my thinking on how you might put a schedule together. But yeah, I want to avoid.
I think the conspiracy theorists are going to be out no matter what, right? I mean, that just happens when they release a schedule. But let's just say you're right. Let's say that Oregon State and Oregon are playing each other. And then they're playing, Stanford and Cal and Washington and Washington State. And then they're going to look across the bracket. If I'm the Pac-12 conference, I see Oregon and Washington as probably the two best teams in the North. And I see USC and Utah in the South. And I'm not going to have those teams play each other until a potential championship. Am I going to catch heat if I'm the conference and I line it up that way?
Yeah, well, you're also forgetting Arizona State too. I mean, they'll potentially be a handful as well. So, I mean, yeah, you could line it up that way, but you know how these things go. There's always a surprise every year. UCLA, I mean, on paper they've got talent. I mean, who knows? They might be good, but yeah, you would probably want to avoid an Oregon USC game, but you can't give Oregon Colorado and I don't know Arizona. That will bring up a conspiracy theorist if that's the case. But
if their job is to get a team in the playoff, like I could see that forming. That you know they have Oregon avoiding USC and Utah until a potential championship game weekend. And that way, you got Oregon and Washington avoiding those teams. You got a shot to have an undefeated team and. Maybe there's some interruptions and, you know, if Clemson only plays eight games or Notre Dame only plays eight games, you have a debate now on the Pac-12 getting into the playoff.
Do you see any team from the Pac-12 getting in the 14 playoff? I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, Oregon, I mean, Oregon's stripped down now. If they had all their guys back, I mean, I could see that maybe, but that's going to be tough with missing the three guys that they've lost. And, you know,
I agree.
You know, there's, and it's still, I think the Pac-12 would have to have everything break right. And, you know, Clemson maybe lose two games or out, you know, I just don't see it. I don't know. I'm being too pessimistic here, but I don't see the Pac-12 getting involved, which is, I think in their case, I'd be more interested in wanting to line up the best bowl games I could line up and leave it at that. Cause you can't say that, but I just don't see it.
But even if, let's say you don't make the playoff, let's say somebody comes through undefeated in the Pac-12 and you don't make the playoff, those other bowl games that are part of the college football playoff come with big paydays for the conference. I could see the Pac-12 saying, look, this is a weird year. This is about trying to get to the end with our best team. And I agree with you. I think Oregon in its present form is going to be good, but not great. And I think the Pac-12 probably doesn't make the playoff anyway, even if there's an undefeated team. Before I let you go, what's success? If they play eight, how many wins is success for Oregon State?
Well, assuming what we talked about, you know, as a schedule with the, you know, the five in the division and two in the other, and then an eighth, you know, crossover game, 3-5, you know, with maybe, you know, only maybe max two of those five losses, blowouts. You know, three of the five, they were really in it to the end, and then they won the other three. I think that would be a pretty decent season. I just don't know what expectations you can put on this season, though. I mean, I assume you saw what Bill Moose said about Nebraska's schedule, and I just was going, yeah. What are you talking about? I mean, you can't put many expectations on this season at all, I don't think. It's just going to be such a weird year that, well, let's just let it play out. Let's just let it play out.
I'm with you.
I think.
I'm with you. Read Nick Daschle on Oregon Live. Follow him on Twitter. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
All right. We'll see you.
There he is from the Oregonian. Leave it here. O'clock hour is going to be dynamite. Mike Remmers now with the Kansas City Chiefs blocking for Patrick Mahomes. He'll be joining us, former Oregon State offensive lineman. Also, Neil Lomax, former All-Pro NFL quarterback. We'll talk about Justin Herbert and much more on this show. I want you to be here for both. Grab podcasts whenever you miss something on this show. Make sure that you're subscribed wherever you get a podcast. You can get the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show podcast, but life with the Kansas City Chiefs. I wonder how much barbecue Mike Remmers is having in Kansas City. They got great barbecue in KC. We'll talk to Remmers about that. Was that a factor in his free agent decision when you're an offensive lineman? Or joining the Super Bowl champions, defending Super Bowl champions, is that enough? We'll talk to Remmers about life, football, and barbecue coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Neil Lomax with us as well. And of course, we will set the stage for Thursday's big decision in the Pac-12 Conference. I also have some amazing sound, and we are not going to ghost Alabama.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.